Morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos is Kuf Zayin. On the very bottom of Kuf Amud Aleph, we're starting today at the two dots at the very bottom of the Amud. Actually, we're even lower than that.
By Minei
Ravuna. Yeah. Last words of the Amud. I thank Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. As long as Zechnis Masliba Gabriela Bar Shmuel. We started already the 13th parak of the Masechta. This is the final parak. We're counting down to the finishing of the Masechta. Second day of Shavuos, we just confirmed. Second day of Shavuos, we're finishing the Masechta. The 13th parak quotes a couple of controversial statements that were made by Chanan and seven controversial statements that were made by Anmon. And so really the entirety of this parak is going to go, we're going to go over the controversial statements. Why are we interested in controversy? We're not. But the first statement that he made and the second statement that he made is related to husband's obligation to his wife in terms of mizona. So it comes up over here. What is the controversial statement that was made by Chanan? He says that when a woman or a husband goes away on a trip and is looking for support from his, she's looking for support because her husband's obligated to support her, and so he's away. So what does Beis Din do? So Beis Din goes and collects, takes his estate, seizes his assets from him, and sells it off and uses it to pay for mizonos. And the only issue the Mishnah brought up is whether or not she makes a shvua. She does make a shvua. Does she have to make a shvua once or twice? That was machlokas between Chanan and the Kohanim Gedolim. And then it turned into a subsequent machlokas amongst other Tanaim as well. We went off topic in the Gemara on Kuf Hei because we mentioned that they were two judges who were judging in Yerushalayim. How did they get paid? So the Mishnah doesn't mention that, but the Gemara mentions that they got paid from communal money, and it then segued into a whole discussion of bribery, meaning how exactly do judges get paid? So do we pay them if one of the litigants were to pay? So that would obviously be an issue of bribery. If both of the litigants get paid them, but if they pay them in order to tip the scale, that's still considered bribery, even though he's getting equal monies from both of them. So how exactly do the judges get paid? So that was a big discussion that that occurred on Kuf Hei. And then Kavav, we continue on the discussion of bribery, and then we move the discussion to communal monies. Communal monies, there's a whole Masechta dedicated to that topic. It's called Shkalim. We did it together in the Daf Yomi. It was one of the earlier Masechtas that we did together. It afforded us the opportunity. Remember that we went through Gemara Yushalmi, and so we learned in the Daf Yomi cycle, we learned one Gemara Yushalmi together. So the remainder of the Daf Kavav is going to be dedicated to the topic of what do we do with communal money. And it is going to be reminiscent of that which we learned already, but okay, it's a good review. And then when we get to the bottom of Kuf Vav Amud Beis, which will be later this morning, and we start today's daf, Kuf Zayin, so we're going to resume our discussion of the Mishnah. So this is all but an interlude in the topic of women and their obligation. Baimine Rav Huna Mei Rav. So the following question was asked from Rav Huna to Rav. Now, mind you, by the way, these are Amoraim. We're having a discussion about what to do with communal money, and meanwhile, they're living in Bavel, and they are a couple hundred years post the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So for them it was real. It was a real discussion. Klisharis Mashiyas and Mikasha Bedekabayas. So Klisharis. So those that serve in the Beis HaMikdash, the Rashi says that they're used for the Mizbech HaChitzon. So and it is Mizbech HaChitzon is Binyan Shel Avanim. It's made up of stone. Why is Rashi telling us that? Because Rashi's telling us that we're talking about things that are be using for the building, meaning the Mizbech HaChitzon is building. It's considered part of the building. In other words, I understand it's not a building in the sense that it's like not, it's not a house, you're not living in it, but still the Mizbech HaChitzon is considered part of the building. So Mizbech HaChitzon clearly is going to be coming from Bedek HaBayis funds. All the funds that are used for the building itself, that comes from Bedek HaBayis. But when now we're talking about the Kli Sharis, in other words, all those vessels that are used towards the Mizbech HaChitzon. So the shovels and all things like that. So where does the money come from? So Mao Shiyas and Mikacha Bedek HaBayis. So one option is the money that's used for the Kli Sharis should come from Bedek HaBayis, Sorech Mizbech Ninhu, because they are accessories for the Mizbech, and as we already just explained, the Mizbech itself is considered building. And therefore the funds for the Kli Sharvis comes from Bedek HaBayis. What's the other option? The other option is that even though they're accessorizing the Mizbeach, but the truth of the matter is that they're there for the Karban. And so therefore one can make the argument that it falls under the category, you file it under Karban. And therefore it should come from Chumas Alishka. Okay, let's remind each other exactly what Chumas Alishka is so that we can have a somewhat better understanding of the upcoming Gemara. Remember that starting from the beginning of Adar until the end of the month of Adar, so we collect the Machzis HaShekel. Every Jew is obligated to give the Machzis HaShekel, actually to be more accurate. The male Jews are obligated to give the Machzis HaShekel. Females, women, if they want to, they may voluntarily give. And all that communal money is then pooled together into a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's called the Lishka. Three times a year, there's a Trumas HaLishka. In other words, we go in with buckets. Buckets are labeled A, B, and C. And we take those three buckets from the Lishka, and that's what's called now the Trumas HaLishka. That money is going to be used for the operation of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning all the karbanos that are purchased throughout the year are going to be purchased from those money that are actually drawn with those buckets. Anything left over at the end of the year after the drawing of the three buckets, that's what's called Shayari HaLishka. That's anything, that's the leftovers of the chamber. Purposes of that money we're going to be discussing later this morning in terms of what's done with that money. Trumas HaLishka, so ostensibly we took a bucket and we dipped it in and we took it out, so all that money is going to be used for the karbanos, but not all that money, because presumably not all that money is going to be used for karbanos, it'll be left over. So there are two shayarim, there are two leftovers really in question. One, number one, there's a leftover in the chamber itself after the drawing of the buckets, but there's also going to be leftover from the truma as well. Meaning, not all that truma money is going to be used towards karbanos. There's going to be leftover that truma. Good. That's just a brief refresher in terms of the basic structure of communal money. So the Gemara now is. In other words, all the money was put into a chamber. Right. Okay. Then, three times a year, we go in with three buckets and we scoop out money from the chamber with those three buckets. That money is called the Trumas HaLishka. Okay. Now, within the Trumas HaLishka, so the first thing that happens with that money is we buy karbanos with that money. Then there's going to be leftover of that money. Whatever the leftover of that money is, so right now the Gemara is making an argument that we're going to use it for Kli Sharis. That's what the Gemara is arguing right now. So, Tzarech Karbaninu, Mitrumas HaLishka, Hayu Osen Asa. Amar Lei, so this is Rav's answer to Rav Huna, Einasin Ela Mitrumas HaLishka. So, okay, Rav has a very definitive answer to this question. The money that's used to pay for the Kli Sharis is coming from the Trumas HaLishka. Eitzvei, so he challenges. Now, usually when you see the word Eitzvei, it means we're challenging from a Braisa. But over here, an earlier source, not a Braisa, Pasuk in Devar Yamim. Uche Chalasam Evil Lefnei HaMelech V'yo Yada HaEshar HaKasef. So what is brought is Shar HaKasef. Now, Shar HaKasef means remainder of the money. Mm-hmm. Okay, stay tuned. We're going to describe that a little bit better. V'yasu Kelim LeBeis Hashem Kli Sharis. And the Pasuk says, and what do we use with that Shara Kesef, the remainder of the money? So we're using it for Kli Sharis. We're using it to buy a temple vessel. Okay. So, this is, take a look at that second Rashi in the Amud. Rashi understands that this is during the days of Yahuash. I mean, he understands. I mean, that's the context of the Pasuk. Rashi also tells us it's in Divrei HaYamim. Rashi didn't have a Torah or on the side of the Gemara. But Rashi says that the money was used for temple upkeep, meaning we're describing monies now that was used for temple upkeep. And meanwhile, it says that after spending the money on temple upkeep, whatever's left over of this money is used for Kli Sharis. This Pasuk is against Rav. So it's not a Bryce against Rav, it's a Pasuk against Rav. So Amalei, so Rav's response, a very sharp response, Dikrach Ksuvim, Lo Yikrei Nevi. Okay, good. Divrei HaYamim, that's Ksuvim. Good. So you had a great Ksuvim teacher back in grade school. But he didn't teach you Navi. And if he would have taught you Navi, you realize this wouldn't have been an issue. The Pasuk says in Navi, in the Malachim Beis. Now this Pasuk in Malachim Beis is describing the same thing that's being described in Divrei HaYamim. Right? The Divrei HaYamim is basically I think in English it's called Chronicles, but it's basically a chronicle of everything that happened up until the end of the Bayit Rishon. So, Ach lo yaseh, Beis Hashem, Stipos. So don't use the money for instruments. Kilo osei amalacha yinuhu, but rather the money is to be given to osei amalacha. It was used for the people who built the Beis Hamikdash. Meaning, what do we do with this money? What we use with this money is building construction workers. But not klisharis. That's what the pasuk of Navi says. So ihachi kashukrah hadade. Okay, good. So Rav now, quoting the pasuk from Navi, clearly shows us that the money from Bedek Abayis is not going towards the klisharis. Great. What isn't great, however, is you have a pasuk in Malachim and you have a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, and they don't agree with one another. So the Gemara says, "Lo kasha kanchigava vosiru kanchigava lo osiru." So the Gemara says, "Look, when money was collected for Bedek Abayis and there's no money left over, so good. So that money is earmarked for the construction, which means the actual building material, and for the workers themselves. If there's any money left over, so then what we could do is we could take that money and then shift it towards other purposes." So the Gemara says, really, you could do that? V'chigava v'sir mayhavi? Gemara says, really? Money in the base of Mikdash is flexible, where if it was collected for one purpose, I can now shift it for another purpose? The Gemara says, that is absolutely correct. Amar Rabbi Abo, lev beza masne aleihem. Im hutzruchu hutzruchu v'im lav yu l'klei sharis. Yes, absolutely correct. Money that's brought into the base of Mikdash is totally flexible. Based in makes a Tanai, even though you're giving it for this purpose, but we have the rights and the ability to reroute that money. So, Bedek Abayis money cannot be used for Kli Sharis. However, if there is a surplus Bedek Abayis money, and now Beis Din says, now we need Kli Sharis, so they could take it from this fund and transfer it to another fund. But fundamentally, money that's for Bedek Abayis is not used for Kli Sharis. What is used for Kli Sharis? So that is Trumas Halishka. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of that discussion. Not the end of the discussion, but a defense of Rav. So again, the question on the table. Kli Sharis, what money is used to buy Kli Sharis? So Rav's position is very clear. It is Trumas Halishka money. And what Rav is really saying is that fundamentally Kli Sharis files under the category of carbon. And just like carbon comes from Trumas Halishka, the Kalim themselves also come from Trumas Halishka. Tan Debei Rav Yishmael, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, taught in the Academy of Rav Good. So he quotes the pasuk. Now, mind you, by the way, just as a point of interest, he's quoting the pasuk from. He's quoting the pasuk from. Right, from Divrei Hayamim. So, and he understands the pasuk is clearly talking about Trumas Halishka, Shara Kesef, remainder. Meaning, what money has remainder? The money that's in the Lishka. Because what happens is that you go into the Lishka, you take out the Truma, and there's money left over. So, Ve'ema Shiraim Gufayu. So the Gemara says, okay, interesting. Good. I now know that we're talking about the Lishka money. But remember, what happens is that we go in with the buckets, we take out, and then there's things that are left over. Maybe, where do we fund the Kli Sharis from? Not from the money that was taken out, but from the money that was left over. So Kedam Rav, the Gemara says, no, right away, I dismiss that, because the pasuk says, Ha Ola, Ola Rishona, Ha Chanami, Ha Kesef, Kesef Rishon. No, it says, the Ola, which means that we say it a number of times to our chas, Rashi over here quotes, we know that the Ha Ola is a reference to the first carbon that's brought every day, meaning that you're not allowed to bring any other carbon in the base of Mikdash until you bring the first one. So over here, when it says Ha Kesef, it also means the first monies, meaning the monies that are drawn out from the Lishka, the Trumas Halishka, not the Shayari Halishka, not the leftover of the Lishka. Okay, so once again, another support for Rav. Kli Sharis is used, the money that is purchasing the Kli Sharis is coming from the Trumas Halishka. Makes for the Gemara challenges, once again, based on another Braisa. HaKetoros v'chol karbon sibor by me Trumas Halishka. Okay, the Ketoros and all karbon sibor come from the Trumas Halishka. Good. Mizbech HaZahav, Ulevona, Kli Sharis by me Mosar Nesachim. Oh, but when it comes to the golden mizbech is not part of building. The golden mizbech, Rashi describes, is the mizbech that's inside. That's where the ketores is being burnt on. So that is picked up. It's lifted. It's movable. So it is. It's not building. And the kli sharis. So they come from Mosar Nesachim. Now, what exactly Mosar Nesachim is, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi goes through a couple of explanations based on a Gemara in Menachos. Exactly what Mosar Nesachim is, see Rashi inside. I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now, but basically there were various streams of revenue that came into the Beis HaMikdash outside of the Machatzis HaShekel. So those streams of revenue are used to buy the Mizbeach HaZahav and the Kli Sharis. Okay. Right away, at this point in the Brisa, we could stop, and already you see it's a kasha and Rav. Because Rav says, how do we buy the Kli Sharis? We use the Trumas Halishka to buy the Kli Sharis. Meanwhile, within this Brisa we just learned, it's not so. The Trumas Halishka is used to buy Karbanos, and these Mosa Nesachim, these other streams of revenue, are used to buy the Kli Sharis. Okay, so this Brisa obviously is a difficult again, Rav, but let's first finish the Brisa, and then we will defend Rav. Mizbech Ola Alishkos Vazaros, the outer Mizbech, which we already identified as being part of building, and the Lishkos and all the chambers and the courtyards by Mikacha Betekabais. So that comes from Betekabais fund, which is a separate fund for capital purposes, for building. Chutz Chomes Azar, with exception to the wall of the courtyard by Mishayari Lishkos, that comes from the leftover of the Lishka, meaning after the Trumas Lishka has been removed, so then you have what the money's left over, and that's used for the wall of the Azara. Okay, and then when you learn the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that the wall of the city and the towers, v'cholzar chayir by mishayar lishka, that comes from the leftover of the lishka. Period. That's the end of the Braisa. This Braisa clearly is not consistent with Rav. Rav says that the Kli Sharis is purchased from the Trumas Halishka, and meanwhile this Braisa does not agree. Tanaihi. The defense of Rav is that it's subject to a machlokas tanaim, did not. And now we're going to learn a Mishnah that we already learned together in Shkalim. We get to review the Mishnah. Mosa truma mayu osim ba. What do we do with the leftover of the truma? Meaning, the truma is the buckets that we take three times a year. The first monies are used to buy carbon. There's going to be leftover money of the truma. So what do we do with that money? So mayu osim ba riku izav tipur lebeis kachay hakadoshim. Okay, so we gold plating, meaning in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the entire interior of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is plated with gold. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Moser Peres, the Ketzim Mizbech, Moser Trumah L'Kli Sharis. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that there are Moser Peres. So, Moser Peres, which is another stream of revenue, it happens to be the Gemara itself will identify what that stream of revenue is. So stay tuned. We're going to come back and describe what that is. But in the meantime, Ketzim Mizbech. That money, we're going to buy carbonos during the slow time of the year. Meaning sometimes the Mizbech is in full operation. Plenty of people are there around Yontif time. And then there's the really slow months where nothing's going on. There's no activity. There's a carbon in the morning. There's a carbon in the afternoon. But that's a communal carbon. And then what? And then the rest of the day, it's kind of quiet. So during that time of year, so there are just extra carbonos that are brought just to give the more busyness. I'm not sure what mitzvah we're fulfilling in doing so, but anyway, so that's what's called Ketz HaMizbech. Moser Trumah L'Kli Sharis, good. This is what we wanted to see. That also, any leftover of the Truma is used to buy the Kli Sharis. Wonderful. So you see over here in this Braisa that there's an opinion that the Truma money, any leftover of the Truma money is used to buy Kli Sharis. This is an exact consistency with Rav, and that's what we wanted. Rabbi Kiva Omer Moser Truma L'Ketz HaMizbech Moser Nesachim L'Kli Sharis. Now Rabbi Kiva disagrees. The leftover Truma, that is used to buy the extra Karbanos during the slow time of the year, and Moser Nesachim, and the stream of revenue of Nesachim, so that's used to buy the Kli Sharis. Now, okay, so Rabbi Kiva does not agree, but that was exactly the point of the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is that it's a machlokas tanaim, how exactly we use to buy a Kli Sharis. Do we use the Truma fund, or do we use another stream of revenue? You'll notice, just give me a moment, you'll notice that according to Rabbi Kiva, there's no Moser Peres. The Gemara is going to make an issue of that as well. Let me just finish the Braisa. Rabbi Chanina is going to go on to Omer. And another opinion brought down in this Braisa, Rabbi Chanina, the deputy Kohen, you'll remember him from the end of the first parak of Pesachim. So he says, Moser Nesachim L'Ketzim Mizbech, Moser Trumah L'Kli Sharis. Excess Nesachim, that goes towards Ketzim Mizbech, excess Truma, so that goes towards Kli Sharis. So that's good. Meaning Rabbi Chanina's going to go on him is in agreement with Rav, or historically, just flip it. Rav is in agreement, Rabbi Chanina's going to go on him. Vizeh lo ayumodim b'peres. Now, you'll notice the Gemara now makes the, I'm sorry, this is still the Mishnah. The Mishnah makes the observation that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina's going to go on him both agree that there's no such revenue called Moser Peres, which only then leads us to ask the question, what is Moser Peres? Peres Maihi? So the Gemara says, what is that, Titania? Moser Truma Mayosim Ba Lokhim Peres Bezol. So the this braisa describes that here we're talking about leftover money of the truma. Again, the buckets are taken out. The first monies of that bucket go towards karbanos. And if there's leftover money, what do we do with that leftover money? So the Tanakhama of this braisa says, you know what we do with that leftover money? Make business. Meaning, right, take the money and invest the money. So my yos and baloch and payros bezol. So, right, if you're ever sitting down at a board meeting of a non-profit, a school, a yeshiva, somebody's going to make the suggestion, hey, if there's a surplus, which then, of course, the brewery is laughter, but if there's a surplus, so why don't we invest that money, right? Or, make a business out of the money, right? Make it any right? Good. So why don't we do that? So you're not the first one to suggest it, so that's exactly what the Gemara is suggesting over here. So Malkin pairs Bezol. Now here they're talking about not like one of those, like, 2%, 3% investments. They're talking about actually, make a business. So we'll buy fruit when the price is low, and sell when the prices are higher. Okay, simple business model. And then what do we do with all the gain from that business? So we'll buy more carbonos and we'll use it to, in other words, we'll bring more. And that's what we mean by most of Paris. Good. So now we know what most of Paris are. Most of Paris are, we're going to take whatever excess money we have or any surplus money we have, and we'll make a very simple business out of it, and we'll basically be able to have more money. And now that we know what most of Paris are, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanin is going to go on and say, we don't do that. So, my zev zelo ayu modim beperos. What does that mean? We don't do that. Did none. Moser shayer lishka mayu osim balochim bahem yenush manim slatsos v'aschar lahektesh. So, if we have any of the shayari lishka, meaning again, shayari lishka is after having taken out the truma, whatever leftover money's in the chamber, what would we do with it? We would buy wine, oil, and flour, and again, make a business out of it, and whatever profits we make is going to go to Hektish. Divir Rabbi Shmuel, that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein Mistakrin Bishel Hektish. We don't do that. We don't make business out of the surplus money. Afla Bishel, Elo Bishel Aniyim. And by the way, it's not just by surplus Hektish, surplus Tzedakah as well. Meaning, let's say we collected for Tzedakah, and let's say there's leftover, there's a surplus. So, I have a great idea. So let's take the money, let's invest the money, or in this case, again, they're not talking about investment, they're talking about actually making a business out of it, and let's grow the money. What a great idea. So the Gemara says, we don't do that. We don't do that for Hektish, and we don't do that for Aniyim.
Because of potential loss.
Give me one second. Your question's about to be answered. So Bishal Hektish, my time alone. So why not with Hektish? So the Gemara says, Ein Aniyim, but Makom Ashiras. So the Gemara says, in terms of Hektish, we have a general rule. And that is that in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't want to look like poor people. Meaning, the Beis HaMikdash is royalty. It's defined by, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's house. And so therefore, we don't squeeze every penny. That's just simply, philosophically, that's not how we operate the Beis HaMikdash. The way we operate the Beis HaMikdash is, money comes in, whatever money's used is fine, whatever's left over we'll use, but we're not going to take the nickel, take the dime, take the quarter, and squeeze them out and try to make more out of it. That's a philosophical issue. In Anias b'makom Ashiras, that's not how the temple operates. And b'shel Aniyim, my time alo. Now, why don't we do that with b'shel Aniyim? Meaning, it's a great idea. If there's surplus tzedakah, so let's make a business out of it and let's grow the account of the tzedakah. So the Gemara says no, because my time alone, doma misraim elu haniyah v'leka lemitzvalei. Because what happens is that by this fund, you need a liquidity in the fund, because at any point in time, a poor person can come, and the poor person comes and can you tell, and now you're going to have to say to them, look, I'm really sorry, we do have money, but the money's tied up, right? We don't have any liquidity in the fund. In other words, that's no good. So the reason why you can't make a business out of it is because you don't want to tie up any of the money. Okay.
What difference does it make where the money coming from for the
Kli Sharis?
Yeah. Do they have a different level of kedusha?
It's not so much a different level of kedusha. It's just simply that we have basic. We have basic objectives with every fund.
Accounting.
Meaning, right, correct. It's accounting. In other words, we know Truma Salishka goes towards carbon. We know that the Shayare Alishka goes for city upkeep. We know that, in other words, Bedek Abayis goes for building. Okay, in other words, we have general designations. The really, what's fundamentally, I mean, again, to summarize this entire daf, what's fundamentally at issue over here is the kli sharis. Is that building or is that karban? Meaning, where categorically does it belong? And based on that, so now we know what money comes from. If it's karban, it comes from the truma money. If it's building, it comes from building money. That's really what it comes down to. So again, everything depends on what it falls under. The outside mizbeach, that's building. The inner mizbeach, that's kli sharis. So everything is just a question of what it falls under. Okay.
Just for the accounting, not for the level of
Leah, correct. In terms of level of kedusha, I mean, carbon has kedusha as a goof, and you know, and building is kedusha stamim. I mean, that's the basic distinction. But okay, that's basically.
The source of money is different. In Bedekabai, it's not everybody contributing, right?
So Bedekabai is right. Bedekabai is it's not like right, correct. It's not like the lishka. Lishka.
But the other one is.
Lishka is a fund that gets that gets replenished every year. So it's
that,
you know.
Correct.
Could be.
Because everybody's contributing to the...
Correct. Absolutely correct. Okay, Misha Halach LeMedina Sayam. Okay, now we start today's daf. We're on the very bottom of Kuvav Amid Beis. We're at the two dots. And we resume our discussion of the Mishnah. So again, the Mishnah's scenario is very simple. The husband goes away. Now, it's unfortunate. In other words, he's not given clear instruction of when he's coming back and what happened. And there's not a lot of context in the Mishnah, but he went away and he has an obligation to support his wife. And she goes to base and she says, look, I'm in a little bit of a bind over here. My husband went away. I usually depend on him for support. He's my husband. That's his obligation. And meanwhile, I'm here and I have nothing to eat. So Basin's going to go and into the assets of the husband and start selling off property in order to feed her. And the only issue is in the Mishnah is when does she make a shvua? So we had a machlokus in the Mishnah between Hanan and the Kohanim Gedolim. Hanan's opinion is that she makes a shvua. But only at the end, not at the beginning. And if you remember Rashi in the Mishnah, at the end meant that in the event that the husband dies later on, and now she's going to collect her ksuva, so then she has to make a shvu, and she has to say, I have not taken any more than I needed from my mezonos. So in other words, I'm still entitled to the entire balance of the ksuva. But that's the only time she makes a shvua. And the Kohanim Gedolim say, no, she has to make a shvua both at the beginning and at the end. At the beginning, what's her shvua going to be? Her shvua is going to be, my husband went away and he left me with nothing. I have no money in order to pay for my mezonos. Meaning, what the husband would have or should have done is before going away, take out his wallet, hand his wife a couple dollars, a little more than that, and then he would go away. So when she goes to Basin, Basin's going to raise an eyebrow. He left you nothing, really? So according to the Kohanim Gedolim, so she's going to have to make a shvua, and she's going to have to say, that's correct, my husband left me with nothing. And so therefore she starts receiving mezonos, and then also at the end, meaning when she collects her ksuva, she's going to have to make another shvua as well. Stay tuned. That's part of that discussion is coming up today. Misha halach lemedina sayam. Okay, good. So far so good. That was a refresher of the Mishnah, and the Gemara starts off. Itmar, Rav Amar poskin mezonos leisha. I'm sorry, leisha ish. Ushmol Amar ein poskin mezonos leisha ish. So right now the Gemara presents a machlokas amarayim. Rav says that Beis Din is going to be responsible to go into the account of the husband or into the estate of the husband and start selling off properties in order to pay for the mezonos of the wife. And Shmuel says, no, Beis Din's not going to do that. So right now, in a vacuum, we have a basic machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. The obvious question, which the Gemara later on will ask, is what about our Mishnah? Meaning, our Mishnah, pretty clear from the Mishnah that Beis Din goes and takes property in order to pay for the mezonos of the wife. So what's Shmuel talking about? So, but before we get to that question, however, a little more context to this debate, some details. So the Gemara starts off. Amar Shmuel, Mo Dili Abba. So Shmuel is familiar with the fact that Rav disagrees with him, and Shmuel says, "Look, Abba agrees with me." In other words, Abba is either a term; it's for sure a reference to Rav. It's either a reverential term that Shmuel uses to describe Rav, which is just simply Abba, meaning my father, but in other words, not biological, but still. It's a term of reference, or it could very well be that that was in fact Rav's name, meaning Rav's name was actually Abba. The my Rebbe, who needs a Refuah Shlema, so that's his first name as well, from YU. So the Gemara says, Modeli Abba, Bishlosha Chadashim Rishonim, Lefi Shena Daminech Beisarekan. Look, for the first 3 months after the husband goes away, for sure, basin is not going to touch anything. Meaning, there's something left in the house. There's some food left in the house. There's some money left in the house. In other words, there's no way that he left an empty household. So for the first 3 months, we're not. There's no debate whatsoever. The basin is not going to start selling off his estate. And b'shishamo bo shemes kuli amalo pligi. And the Gemara points out as well that if there's rumors that the husband died, so then once again there's not going to be any debate whatsoever. So if there's rumors to his death, so once again Basin's going to come in and start selling off estate in order to support the wife. Okay, what is not clear from the Gemara, admittedly, is the Gemara says we've heard that he died. Okay, we spent a lot of prakim at the end of Masechta Yevamos talking about rumors and allegations about the death of the husband. If two witnesses come back and say that the husband died, those aren't rumors. Right, two witnesses substantiate the fact that the husband died. And if one witness comes back and reports that the husband died, so, like we've discussed now, a number of prakim at the end of Amos, that would afford her the opportunity to remarry. Okay, so over here, it's perfectly unclear what the Gemara means when it says, b'sheshamabo. We heard that the husband died. It's really not clear exactly what the Gemara means, but there are some sort of rumors and allegations that the husband is dead. And you'll see later on in the Gemara, as we go, we're going to cite a number of brises over the course of this morning, and it's also going to be very clear that these rumors are very weak rumors, because he's going to come back under certain circumstances. Okay, what is it, the Mark Twain quote about the rumors of my death were exaggerated? Okay. So anyway, so ki pligi b'shalosh shama b'shames. The only debate that exists between Rav and Shmuel is where? Not within the first 3 months, and not where there were rumors about the death, but the husband went away, and it's now after 3 months, and we don't know anything. Where is he? I don't know. Did he die? No, I didn't hear of it. Okay, now, Rav amar poskin da meshubala. So Rav says, good, based in now, is going to exercise their authority to take some of the properties and sell them off in order to feed her. Why? There's a shibud, because that's one of his contractual obligations being married to her, is that he has to support her, and he's not around, and it's now 3 months since he's gone. Good, he has a shibud, he has a financial obligation. Basin, therefore, is entitled to go and start selling off property. That's Rav's position. It's very simple, it's very straightforward. Shmuel Amar ain poskim, and Shmuel says no, Basin does not do that. My taima, and why would that be? Now, within Shmuel, there are two opinions of why that should be. Rav Zvid Amar, Ema Tzari Atfasa. So Shmuel says, I'm worried about the following. I'm sorry. Rav Zvid, an explanation of Shmuel, says that she took some coins. Or, in other words, right before he left, he left her some money. Here, I'm going away. I know I'm financially obligated to support you. Here's some money. And so the concern is that he gave her some money before he left. Rav Papa Amar, Chayshin and Shema Amar La, or another possibility is, remember, he does have an obligation to support her. However, we also learned that in exchange for that, her earnings are going to go to him. We also learned earlier that there is a possibility where, even though the rabbis legislated such an exchange, they could say at the beginning of the marriage, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm earning very well. She says to him, you keep your mizonos, I'll keep my ma'asei yadayim. And let's, you know, the Chachamim instituted such an exchange, but if she would like, she can retain her earnings, and he'll be able to retain her mizonos. And such a structure can be made, and if so, so then she wasn't expecting the mizonos of her husband. And that could be as well. So there are two distinct reasons within Shmuel of why Basin is not going to start selling off estate. Either number one, he left her some money before he went. Or number two, they stipulated that she would keep her earnings.
That's assuming she's working.
Right, correct. My Beinaihu, the Gemara now wants to know, what is the practical difference between these two reasons given within Shmuel? Ike Beinaihu, the Gemara gives a couple of examples. Number one, Gedola Velo Safka. Number one, she's an adult, but she's not making enough. Rashi goes on to explain, why is she not making enough? Take a look at Rashi. Haru'uyalatvi samos, velo safka mizonos, mamasi adesh, ain't shne bitsaras, o shayna balas malacha. Rashi offers two very simple possibilities. Either, number one, says Rashi, is that it's just inflation this year is ridiculous, meaning it's a Shnas Besoros, it's the year of famine, and food prices are out of control. So she's making a living, but it's not a living. It's not enough. Or Rashi gives another possibility, and that is that she's working, but in other words, she's not skilled, and she's just not making enough money. So now, Rashi goes on to explain. Litzrari ikla mecha shonah. On the side that maybe he gave her money before he left, so that would be a concern. On this side, so that Masiya Daya b'mizonoseach, that she told him, you don't have to give me my mizonos, and I'll keep my Masiya Dayim. But under these circumstances, where either the cost of living is ridiculous, or she's just simply not making enough money, so now Rashi says, under those circumstances, she would not accept her Masiya Dayim. In other words, she would be insistent, no, I'm going to give you my Masiya Dayim and you'll give me my Mizonos. So if this were the reason behind Shmuel, even Shmuel would agree then, basically would start taking and selling off his properties. Inami, another nafkamina between these two reasons given within Shmuel, Kitana Vesafka. Let's say she's a minor, but Baruch Hashem, she's making a great living. So, And as Rashi points out, the cost of living is a regular year. So now, Rashi over here, I'll just paraphrase Rashi outside. So Rashi over here says, now we're going to go the other way. Now, if we're worried about the husband not giving mizonos in exchange for Masiya Dayim, that's a legitimate concern. Because she'll say to her husband, I'll retain my Masiya Dayim, you'll keep your mizonos. If, however, we're worried about him giving her money before he goes away,
she's a
katana. Rashi explains he's not going to be giving his minor wife money before he goes away. That's a lot of money to be responsible for. He's not going to do that. Okay. Anyway, let's set ourselves up for the rest of the daf. It will literally be the rest of the daf today on this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Again, Rav says that the husband goes away for the first 3 months. Rav and Shmuel agree. Basin's not going to touch any of his estate. After 3 months, Rav says, Basin's going to go down and start taking money from his estate, start selling off property in order to pay for her mizonos. Shmuel says, no, the Basin won't. And why? So we have two explanations within Shmuel. Either because he gave her money before he went away, or because she agreed to retain her Masiya Dayim. Either way. From this point going forward, all we're going to do is see if we could support one position over the other. So this is a classic structure of Gemara. Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah. Misha alach l'medinas yam v'ishto tava mizonos. Chanamar tishava besof, alo tishava betchila. Nechlik v'olah b'nei kohanim gedolim, v'amar tishava betchila besof. So the first Mishnah that we turn to is our Mishnah in Ksuvas. The first Mishnah of the 13th Perek. Where the Mishnah says, there's a machlokas. But do you know what the only debate is? The only debate within the Mishnah is, does she make one shvur or two shvurs? But it's a davar pashut in the Mishnah. The basin is going to start selling off his property in order to pay for him mizonos. So ad kan lo pligi alalin yeshvua. The Gemara makes exactly that point. The only debate is regarding shvua, but mizoni yavin Allah. But in terms of mizonos, basin goes and starts providing mizonos for her from the estate of her husband. Tirgama Shmuel b'shashama b'shameis. So Shmuel says, yeah, I know the Mishnah Ksuvos. I'm familiar. Do you know what the Mishnah is describing? Where rumors were that he died. Because Shmuel says, under those circumstances, I of course agree. Meaning that if the husband's alive and we don't know we don't know otherwise, so we're not going to start selling off his estate. A, she could be retaining her Masiya Dayim. B, he may have given her money. And under those circumstances, Basin's not going to come and start selling off property. However, if there are rumors about his death, Shmuel says, of course I'm going to agree in that scenario. We don't know where he is. Rumors are that he died. She needs to eat. Okay, so we're going to start providing. Tashma. Another brisa. Misha alach l'medinas yam v'ishto tavas mizonos. The husband went away and the wife is demanding mizonos. B'nei kohanim gadol amar mitishava chanan amar lo tishava. V'im bav amar pasakula mizonos neman. Now, if the husband comes back and he says, what are you talking about? I gave her some money before I went away, so he's believed. So the Gemara says, Hachanami b'shashama b'shameis. Okay, so right now the Gemara is suggesting, again, we're defending Shmuel. Well, the reason why Beis Din started selling off the estate is because there was rumors about his death. Vaha imba v'amar kamar. That's funny. The rumors about his death. Meanwhile, within this brisa, he came back. Some death. So the Gemara says imba la'achar shmo. So the Gemara says, no, the way to read the brisa is, yeah, that's right, there were rumors about his death. And then what happened? And then he came back. Clearly, those rumors were not true. Under those circumstances, he then is believed. Tashma. Once again, another brisa. Misha lachlam yinasiyam v'ishto tavas mezonos. Again, same starting point. He goes away. The wife is demanding mezonos. V'imba v'amar. See, maseach adecha b'mezonosecha rashai. If, however, he comes back during the interim and he says, yeah, you know, he says to the Beis Din, wait a second, stop. Stop selling off my property. She agreed that she's going to keep her earnings. And I'm not going to give her mezonos. Oh, good. So, kidma Beis Din, upasko, masha pasko, pasko. However, if Beis Din first started selling off the state, so what they did is absolutely correct. So the Gemara says, hachanami b'shashama b'shameis. So why would Beis Din start selling off why would Beis Din start selling off his estate? So again, if you hold like Rav, so that's great, because they're totally within the right. If you hold like Shmuel, they have no right to do that. So once again, the Gemara, it's going to be the same defense every time. There was a rumor that he died. That's why Beis Din came in and started selling off the estate. That's what the Bryce is describing. And that would be the defense of Shmuel. Tashma. Once again, here we go, another round. Misha lachlam yinasiyam v'isho tavas mezonos Beis Din yodol nechasa v'zanim mefarnasin l'ishto. Okay, once again, pretty clear brisa, where husband goes away, the wife is demanding mezonos, Beis Din goes, sells off the property, v'zaninu mefarnasin l'ishto, support the wife, avalo banav v'nosa v'lo davar acher. However, not the children, and not davar acher. Okay, I know this is going to come off as a little bit harsh, but in other words, the wife is perfectly within the right to receive mezonos, but not the children. Remember we had this discussion earlier in the Masechta. When it comes to the wife, he has a financial obligation to support his wife. When it comes to his children, up until the age of 6, he is financially obligated to support the children. After 6 years of age, recommended, right, strongly encouraged, but not financially obligated to support the children after 6 years of age. So therefore, if he goes away and Beis Din now is selling off the estate in order to support, so because the wife has a financial obligation to be supported, so therefore she's going to get supported. The children who are not financially obligated, it's not a chova, so therefore they are not going to enjoy this mezonos.
The mother doesn't have a chova to support the children?
No. I know. right. That eyebrows raising. I understand, and also not davar acher as well. An ambiguous reference to something else that she's not going to be receiving through this selling of the estate. Stay tuned. We're going to describe momentarily what that's a reference to. Amar of sheshes ben misharis ishto al yedei shlish. So once again, what is Beis Din doing selling off the estate? So according to Rav, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. According to Shmuel, they have no right. So what's going on over here? So Rav Shesha says, so b'mishar v'sishto ayidei shlish. So the Gemara is in defense of Shmuel. Before the husband went away, he appointed an apotropos in order to support. And the apotropos, after the husband went away, the apotropos said, you know what? I know I was appointed, but you know what? Too much responsibility for me. He shirks his responsibility. Rashi points out over here, now what? He obviously didn't give her money before he went away because he appointed an apotropos. And maybe the marriage was structured where she was going to keep her earnings and he was going to keep his mezonos. So then he wouldn't have appointed an apotropos. By virtue of the fact that he appointed an apotropos clearly meant that he outsourced that obligation to support her. In other words, he had an obligation, he outsourced it, and the outsourced decided, I'm out. I'm not in anymore. Under those circumstances, now Basin's going to intercede, and Basin's going to start selling off the property, and that would be a defense of Shmuel. So the Gemara says, but that's funny, because, good, he has set up an apotropos to support his wife, and not the children? So the Gemara says, and that's exactly the Gemara's question. Ihachi banu v'nosav nami. Well, what about the children? So the Gemara says, kishehishru lezu v'lo hishru lezu. The Gemara says, well, maybe he set up an apotropos for his wife, but he didn't set up an apotropos for his children. The Gemara says, my paska. Gemara says, well, that's arbitrary, right? That's random. Well, really? Meaning, usually when the Braisa formulates halacha, the Braisa formulates a general clause to teach us general halacha. And now the Braisa is dealing with a scenario where he set up an apotropos, but only for his wife and not for his children. That's just, it's random. El amar of Papa kishashama boshames be'ed echad. So the Gemara says, okay. So Rav Papa says, I'll tell you what the scenario is. Scenario of this Braisa is, it was more than rumors about the death of the husband. There was actually a report. A bona fide witness comes and says that the husband died. So now this is where we're going to draw a distinction between her versus the children. He, de'ibais in suve be'ed echad, matzi bin suve, therefore, mizona nami avin alab. Good. She can get remarried based on the testimony of one witness. Again, the end of Masechta Yevamos. The last couple of prakim tell us that even though, in order to substantiate anything in halacha, you need two witnesses, for her to be able to remarry, one witness is going to be sufficient. Now, again, like we discussed time and again throughout the end of the Yevamos, there is a risk in her remarrying based on the testimony of one witness, but the chachamim allow her to take that risk. And therefore, she can get remarried. Therefore, halachically speaking, she's viewed now as a widow. Obviously, because she can get remarried. So since halachically speaking, she's viewed as a widow, therefore, she's entitled to the mezonos, like a widow is therefore entitled to. However, banavuvnosav di'ibay lemechas lenechasav be'edecha lo matzi nachte mezona nami lo yavin alohu. But the children, on the other hand, you see, for them it's different. Because one witness comes and says that your father died. Does that give you now the ability to collect the inheritance? No. The inheritance does not get passed on to them. So unless we know, with veracity, two witnesses come and say. Meaning this dispensation of one witness providing credibility is only for the wife to remarry. But it doesn't provide enough information for any other ramification of his death.
Does it obligate the children to support the wife if she doesn't remarry?
Yeah, in other words, that's exactly the point. Yes, in other words, so the estate...
So they don't get their inheritance, but they're supposed to...
Correct, absolutely correct. It's an anomaly, but it makes sense, though. In other words, the special dispensation is only given vis-a-vis her, not vis-a-vis the children. Good. That's what the Braisa is talking about, and now we have a very successful defense of Shmuel. Meaning, Shmuel, in this Braisa, the reason why she's going to get support is because there actually is one witness providing the report that he died. And now, she's a widow, vis-a-vis her. That's why she's going to get supported. The children, on the other hand, are not going to get supported because there's only one witness. And for them, it's not enough for them to receive the Yerusha. Okay. My davar acher. The Braisa said that Beis Din will start selling off the estate so that she can get fed, but the children are not going to get fed, and she's not going to be able to receive davar acher. What does that mean? So Rav Chista Amar Tachshi, Rav Yosef Amar Tzedakah. This should all sound familiar. We did this at the midway mark of the Masechta, at Daf Memches. We get to review it again at the end of the Masechta. Davar acher can mean one of two things. It could either mean Tachshit or can mean Tzedakah. Meaning, Tachshit, not only are we going to sell off property so that she'll have food on the table, but we're also going to sell off property so that she could put on perfume and put on makeup and still look good. And Tzedakah is interesting. Tzedakah means that Beis Din will sell off property so that she will have the ability to give Tzedakah. In other words, Tzedakah is so fundamental, it's so basic, the giving of Tzedakah, that according to one opinion, there was a consideration that maybe we should sell a property so that she can give tzedakah. So manda amatachshi kolshekein tzedakah. Now, if you are of the opinion that you don't sell off property for tachshit, then for sure you're not going to sell off property for tzedakah. But manda amat tzedakah val tachshit yahavin ala. Now, if you're of the opinion that you don't sell off property for tzedakah, so fine, I understand. She's not personally gaining from the tzedakah. I get it. But tachshit, however, that we would do. The lonicha leiti tinavel, because we're making a general assumption that the husband would want it still to look good, even though he's away, even though he's we don't know where he is, which is funny. In other words, it's a general assumption. You know, the husband, you know, of course he wants his wife to look good. Meanwhile, he went away. We don't know when he's coming back. Basin's now selling off the estate. Okay, but still, it's a general assumption. Okay, Tashma. Once again, let's round. I lost count now which round we are in. But once again, another Braisa to support the position of Rav Shmuel. Well, the mezonos, the assumption is mezonos she needs. Yes. Meaning she, what she's getting is mezonos, she needs to eat. That's the general assumption. Tashma, ha-yavama gimachadashim erishonim mezonos mishal ba'ala. Okay, we have a yavama. And so that means her husband died. That means she has no children. It means that she's looking at her brother-in-law who has the opportunity to either do the mitzvah of yibam or chalitza. Now, we're really just focusing on one aspect, and that is, who's feeding her? Her husband's dead. She has a yavam who will do the mitzvah of yibum, but his first opportunity will only be 3 months later, after the death of her husband, like we learned in Masechet Yavamas. So who's going to feed her? Who's obligated to feed her? So for the first 3 months, the estate is going to feed her. That's clear. Mikan ve'elech. Now, from that point going forward, eini nizonos lo mishal bala v'lo mishal yavam. So she does not get fed neither from the husband, neither from the estate, nor from the yavam. Now this is interesting. I mean he's dead. So the estate is not going to feed her because the estate's going to say, "Look, there's right. You're nearly married to another man. Okay, so in other words, you're no longer our responsibility."
But the yavam is the estate in a way.
Well, the yavam only will be the estate once he does the mitzvah of yibum. So he's not yet. So Amad Bedin Ubarach Nizonus Mishal Yavam. However, let's say 3 months go by and now look, she's in limbo. Financially. She's in financial limbo. In other words, the estate of the husband no longer is obligated to support her. The Yavam, he's just dragging his feet. So she takes him to court. But this is interesting. Taking him to court basically to say to him,
yeah.
Right. In other words, you got to make a move right now. You either do yibum or you'll do chalitza. You do yibum, great. We'll be happily married. You do chalitza, that's also great because then I'll just go back to to the estate in order to feed me. You got to do something. Ubarach. But here, given the choice, and he's taken to court, and what does he do? He flees. He runs. Nizonus mishal yavam. So now, because he's clearly shirking his responsibility, so therefore, Basin will go to his estate in order to collect from him. So So once again, Shmuel will tell you, yeah, this is easy. Meaning, the only reason why I say that Basin doesn't sell off the estate is because of the two concerns that we mentioned at the beginning of the daf. Number one, he gave her money before he went away. Number two, she rejected the mezonos because she wants to keep her masiyah dime. Over here, what are you worried about? My nechus lalahai. Are we worried that maybe the oven gave her some money before he ran away? I don't think so. Meaning they're not married. You know, they're quasi-married. There's a Zika, but like they don't have any real relationship. So he's not going to give her money. And what are we worried about? The Masi Adayim. In other words, there's no Shibud yet. The Shibud only begins when he actually marries her, when he does the mitzvah of Yibum. There's no Shibud yet. So under these circumstances, Shmuel says, of course we're going to start selling off property because there's nothing to worry about over here. She's not receiving mazonos from any source at this point in time. Okay. Where are we right now? Almost caught up. Okay, now it's number one. Number two, we are in the middle of a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in terms of whether or not Beis Din has the right to sell off the estate when the husband runs away. So again, to quickly recap, within the first 3 months after he goes away, we're not going to start selling off the estate. After 3 months, if there was rumors about his death, so then again, agreement, we're going to start selling off the estate to feed her. If, however, it's after 3 months, and there's no report about what happened to him, so we have a machlokas. Rav says we start going into the estate and start taking from the estate. Shmuel says no, we don't. We leave everything as is. And so far, we've gone through a lot of mishnayos and a lot of brisos, really mostly on the attack of Shmuel. And the Gemara has successfully defended Shmuel so far through every brisa.